This is a first for me. But that's okay. I can do it. I can handle it. No big deal. As long as you let me be myself. I got to be myself or it ain't going to work. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm a worship leader. Worship leaders don't talk a lot. They sing a lot. When the Daughters of Zion asked me if I would speak tonight so that Nathan could have a break, I was a little hesitant at first because I just don't do that kind of thing. But as I thought about it, I thought, you know, I can do it though. I mean, I hear from the Lord. I can seek the Lord for a message and He'll give me one and I can bring it. So, therefore, I say yes. Since I am a worship leader, I'm going to do a lot of this tonight. This is a sign of being nervous. Walking around, waving your hands, doing all this. This is a sign of being nervous. No, Nathan, stay still. Brother Buddy, stay still. I'm going to move around. Whenever I started seeking the Lord about tonight's message, you see, it's supposed to be a short message. And I don't think there'll be a problem. As a matter of fact, Andy, if you want to take a picture, you go right here. Because you know that saying, take a picture, it'll last longer. Well, that's the truth here. But whenever I started seeking the Lord about a message, obviously being the worship leader, where did He lead me? But towards worship and towards the worship service and my role as a worship leader and what we do when we come together as worshipers in this house. And so I wanted to bring a short message tonight about that and maybe even a challenge to you when it's all over. I thought when I started researching on worship, I thought that I'd have a hard time getting a bunch of stuff together. I was totally wrong. I came up with so much material and so much that I could have gone to that when it came down to crunch time and I had to start pulling all together, I had to start cutting things off. Because I had a certain direction I wanted to go. I wanted to make a certain point tonight. I wanted to get a certain way. But there were so many branches and so many things and so many ways it could have gone. It kind of looked like one of those genealogy things where comes down and goes over and this sprouted off and that sprouted off and this one begat that one and that one begat that one and stuff. So I had all this material, but I needed to streamline it and get it down to one thing. So I did that. Now, I can tell you that I have many side notes. I'm going to try not to get off track because when you start thinking, I want to end up right here in this paragraph. And I will end up there. But in all the ways I may go around about getting there, you may think, why didn't he just read us the last paragraph and look at all Jesus Christ is Lorded and go home or went back here and started fellowshipping? But, you know, I wouldn't have anything to do then. So I needed some time. Being the worship leader, obviously worship is my ministry and it's something I'm very passionate about. So I wanted to talk tonight about our praise and worship. And I'm just going to be real about it. I will have to look at some notes, obviously. But I'm going to try not to do too much of that because I don't want to just stand up here and read my book that I wrote. So for those of you who care or for the CD, the title of the message tonight is Worship, Wasted Time or Wasted Opportunity. And where I'm going to head with that tonight is I want to show y'all with scriptures and with thoughts and stuff why the 30 minutes that we spend every Sunday and every Wednesday worshiping is more important than maybe you know. All right? So our title tonight is Worship, Wasted Time or Wasted Opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this night, Lord. I thank You for those who have gathered here in this house, Lord. I thank You for the message, Lord, that You've given me to teach tonight, Lord. I pray, Father God, that You will open the hearts of everyone who has gathered under the sound of my voice, Lord, that what I say, Father God, would ring true and everyone would leave this place with something, Lord. Lord, I know that You have already blessed me beyond my belief in studying this message. Help me to convey that tonight, Lord, with Your Spirit. Help me to convey that same thing that You've given me, Lord, to those who have gathered here tonight. Lord, I ask Your blessings on the service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we get started, I want to establish one thing, all right, because I don't want y'all to think that I'm a narrow-minded 30-minute before the worship service kind of guy, because I'm not. Worship is not merely something that takes place on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is something we should be experiencing on a daily basis every day. There are many things that we do during the course of a day that would be considered as worship. When we offer stuff up to the Lord, when we do things in His name, when we give our lives in a daily fashion, that is a form of worship. That is a form of worship. We offer up our lives to Him, it's a form of worship. So anytime we offer something up to God of ourselves, that act in itself can be considered worship. Alright? I want y'all to know that. I know that. Alright? In Romans 12:1, and I'm going to go there, and y'all can go there too. I invite you to. I don't have a lot of scriptures tonight. Most of mine's thoughts. Let's see. Tell you how nervous I was. I said Paul. I was looking for the book of Paul. In Romans 12:1, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Now, in this scripture, Paul is referring to presenting our bodies, or everything that we are about, which surely would include our voices also, to God for spiritual service. All right? Let's look at something else. Because Jesus was asked by the scribes in Mark 12:28, and I'm going somewhere with all this, believe me. In 12:28, what was the most important of the commandments? All right? Actually, it's in Mark 12:29. Jesus answered, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Now, what he's saying here, and this is taken straight from the Old Testament, straight quoted out, is that everything that about us is supposed to be given to God. Everything. All right? Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. You know, if you were looking for more description, you could have gone on and just said many things. But what he's trying to get here is that everything about you is supposed to be given to the Lord. That's the second most important. Hear Him and obey Him, number one. Give everything to Him. All right? Surely, out of this intense love, worship would flow in abundance on a daily basis. It would be one of the things that would just be very easy for us to do. I got a little side note here. All right? A little side note. There's little things when I started cutting. I said, I can't cut that, but I don't know what to do with it. We all know that we're supposed to have a solid prayer life. Nobody gets up. I don't want to say nobody because there might be somebody's. We all know we're supposed to have a good, solid prayer life. We're supposed to get up in the morning. We're supposed to seek the Lord. That's the way to start off your day. That's the best way to start off your day. We don't always do it, but that's the best way. We all know that we need to have a good Bible life. We all know that we need to spend time in the Word, right? Everybody agrees that we need to spend time in the Word. If the rest of your day is filled with worship, and this is funny because this isn't even where I'm going. I'm trying to get to the however part. If your rest of your day was filled up with praise and worship, doesn't it make sense that the enemy would not have much room to get in? If your life is filled with prayer, reading, and singing songs and hymns and worshiping on a daily basis, full time, where does that leave room for the enemy to come in? Alright? Think about driving down the road, because this happens to me. I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I'm just like you. I have bad days. Think about you driving down the road. You've had a bad day. You didn't get in the Word. You're not real spiritual. Some guy cuts you off, and you almost lose your religion. You're all, you'd really like to say something, and maybe some of us do. Some of you do. Maybe some of you do. But I also know that I do a lot of traveling, so I get to listen to a lot of worship CDs, and they're in my car almost all the time. And I also know when that same guy cuts me off and I've been caught up in worship, I might go, why did he do that? I'm in just as big a hurry as he is. Why did he have to cut me off so bad? But I don't get all intensely angry and upset about it. You know, I just don't lose it. All right? That was the side note. Okay. Let's see, where was that? Surely out of intense love, worship would flow in abundance. All right. So now that I've established, and y'all know that I know that worship is a daily thing. It's something we should live every single day. Let me take you to where I'm actually going, which is not the everyday life of worship, all right? I'm going to be speaking and referring specifically to praise and worship being of the vocal nature, all right? And many times not, I may say worship. In the Bible, lots of times when they said worship, they were talking about the bowing down, the prostrating, you know, reverence kind of thing. Many times it very definitely seems that, you know, there was psalms and hymns and stuff going on at the same time. Believe it or not, it's awkward to say praise and worship over and over and over and over. So lots of times I'll be saying, if I'm saying worship, you know, I'm talking about this. All right. To start, let me paint you a picture. Remember, at the end you're going to say, why did he go all that? Why did he do all that? But you know what? I have to talk for 15 or 20 minutes. Brad gets up in the morning. All right. First of all, he wakes up. He looks over there and the alarm clock didn't go off. So he wakes up. He's late. He jumps out of bed, stubs his toe on the nightstand, goes to take a shower. He's trying to get everything together. His day's not starting out right. There's no hot water because all the kids use it all. I'm not talking about my kids. I only have three women in the house. So just do the math. So he goes in there. He takes a shower. He's running late. He doesn't have time to get in his Bible. He doesn't have time to get before the Lord. All he's got time to do is try to rush out that door and get to work. All right. So he manages to pull all together. He can't find his shoes. He can't find his keys. He can't find anything. Finally gets out the door. It is a frustrating day to start the day. It's frustrating. He gets in the car, goes down the road, and that guy cuts him off. All right. He wants to say a few choice words. He doesn't. Trust me, he doesn't. He gets to work, and as soon as he gets there, number one, he's late. Number two, everybody's on his back. Everybody wants everything yesterday. It's just one of those days. And all day long, that's what he puts up with. All day long, it's a rough, rough, rough road. All right. Hard to worship. Hard to get involved in that kind of thing. Finally, 5 o'clock comes. He gets to get off work. He's on his way home. And for the purposes of this teaching, this is going to be on a Wednesday. This is Wednesday, y'all. He's on his way home and we got church tonight. I go to church tonight. With a day like this, I got to go to church tonight. You would think that person would be thinking, well, that's good. I'll go to church. I'll lay my burdens at the altar. The day will be over. It'll be great, you know. Most of the time, that's not what happens. All right? What happens? He runs home, scarfs down a quick meal, changes clothes if he has to, comes back to the church. As he pulls into the parking lot, and when he's pulling up to park, there's a little bit of a change that goes on. Number one, he knows he's fixed to enter the house of the Lord. He's fixed to be around his fellow Christians and stuff. So there's a little bit of a change that goes on when he pulls up in the parking lot. By the time he gets in here in this, you know, in those doors back there, he's got that okay attitude about him. He's starting to lighten up. It's starting to be a little bit better. All right. He comes in here and what do we got to do? We got 30 minutes of praise and worship and we got, you know, 30 minutes to an hour worth of teaching. Now I know that that's none of you. Nobody here is guilty of that. Nobody here feels that way. But I know one person in here that is that way, and that's me. Alright? There are many times when it's just hard. Life is just hard. You know? It's just hard sometimes. The enemy likes it to be harder on Wednesdays. He likes it to be harder on Sunday mornings. I can have a great Monday, a great Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, okay, Friday, okay. Friday, great. Friday noon, 1, 2 o'clock, great. The enemy doesn't like that, but I am that way. Alright? One thing about that is, though, remember I told you earlier, in case you forgot, I'm the worship leader. Alright? God called me to be a worship leader within months after me getting saved, which was a good 16, going on 17 years now. So God called me to be a worship leader, and I've had the opportunity many times of leading worship, and here I am again leading worship. So, as a worship leader, and Nathan and Brother Buddy can attest to this because they're preachers and teachers and pastors. I mean, that's what they do. You have to find time before 6:30, before 10 o'clock on Sunday. You have to find time to get before the Lord and pull a worship service together. I don't want to come up here and just sing songs. Although I could. I could come up here and just sing songs. I don't want to do that. God didn't call me to be a song singer. God called me to be a worship leader. All right. That means that I have an obligation to God and an obligation to the staff here and to you to come here, have the mind of Christ, have sought the Lord, and offer up a worship service to Him through and with you that is pleasing to Him that He ordained for that specific service. That's what I'm supposed to do. All right. Now, when I say that, I'm not trying to say I'm better than you because I have to start 3 hours before church starts seeking the Lord on us. I'm not trying to get across the point that I'm better than you. I'm just trying to get across the point that I'm the same as you. But worshiping, and remember, we're talking about Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Worshiping is something you have to consciously decide to do. You have to consciously decide to do it. You don't have to do it. There's nobody twisting your arm. There's nobody making you. You can stand there and probably nobody's going to say a word if you just stand there. All right? We see it all the time. So, you know, nobody would say anything and you could just stand there. All right? I could just get up there and sing, but that's not what God called me to do. I said all that to say this, and I'll probably say that statement many times. Have you ever wondered why we get together before every service and devote 30 minutes or so to praise and worship? I mean, is there a purpose in it or is it just something that we do? Do we come together and sing for 30 minutes so that the stragglers and the latecomers have time to make it here before the all-important sermon starts? Or do we come together and sing for 30 minutes and praise and worship to give the Sunday morning crowd time to wake up and the Wednesday night crowd time to wind down? No, we don't do that. Do we perhaps come together and sing for 30 minutes before each service? Because your worship leader, yours truly, who's always wanted to be part of a traveling worship band, needs an avenue to get his message out. No, that's not it. The time that we set aside, try to catch this, the time that we set aside at the beginning of the service for worship has much more of a purpose than that. First, we need to understand something. Do we spend 30 minutes praising and worshiping God because it brings us joy? No, we do not. That is not what it's for. Although, joy, happiness, gladness, all those things, those are all byproducts of our worshiping. But that's not the reason that we do it. The purpose of praising and worshiping God, whether it's daily, and that is very important, daily, or before such an event as a church service, is not to make us feel good. We worship God mainly because He requires it of us. God requires it of us. In Deuteronomy 6:13, if you'll go with me to Deuteronomy 6:13. This is one of God's original commandments given to Moses that He shared with the people. Alright? Deuteronomy 6:13. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship Him and swear by His name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. Alright? For the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. In the original commandments given to Moses, along with many other things, God set forth and said, you will worship Me and you will worship Me only. Now, that is not something that is happening by somebody. God, I'm so all important, although He is needing that. There's more reason to that, just like there's more reason to everything. God just doesn't have us do things for nothing. There's a reason. He knows why we need to do what we need to do, when we need to do it, and how we need to do it. All right? Another scripture, Deuteronomy 8:19. And I'm just laying some groundwork here, and I'll get to that last paragraph in a minute. 8:19. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. So it is obvious that God wants us to worship Him. It's obvious that He wants us to worship Him. All right? In His wisdom, there's even more to it than that. All right? First, worship. Worship should be an... I got to read this because when I wrote it, it didn't blow my mind, but I mean, it's like the King's English. It's all backwards. First, worship should be an outward expression when we feel in our hearts an irrepressible desire to declare who God is, what He has done in and for the world, and for oneself, and to acknowledge His worth and worthiness. All right. Side note, this could easily translate into a message about witnessing. All right. When it's inside you and you don't want to keep it in, all right, that could translate and go into a witness message. That's not where I'm going. All right. It's not where I'm going. Don't ask me to. All right. If we are truly born again, go with me to Luke 6:45. If we are truly born again, then this scripture, the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good, and the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Now the King James says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Surely, that also would encase our worship, our singing, singing hymns to the Lord. Out of the abundance of your heart, what fills your heart is what's going to come out. And if what is in your heart is what the Lord has put there, if you're truly born again, really been filled with God's Spirit, then worshiping, this would cover the whole broad everyday thing, but definitely, you know, when we come together as a corporate body, should be one of the easiest things in the world. Should be one of the easiest things in the world. Should not be able to hold it back. All right? I believe the scripture would surely be able to include our songs, our singing, and our praising God. All right? Let's look at Psalm 66:1. I'm laying some groundwork here. I'm going to get to the end, and you're going to say, Jeff, why didn't we just go to the end? And I'm going to say what I said earlier, because I need to talk for 15 or 20 minutes. All right, Psalm 66:1 says, now, listen to this. Listen to what the writer is saying about this. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name, Selah. Here, the writer feels compelled to declare God's goodness, as we should. We should be compelled to declare God's goodness, both in our witnessing, our speaking, but also in our worship. We see shouting, we see singing, we see declaring, and out of this compelling, in verse 4, he says, all the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Singing and praising God should be a natural part of our lives, an insuppressible force inside of us that needs to be released. In other words, it should be very easy for us to worship. Now that I've laid all that groundwork, all right, and hopefully convinced you that it should be very easy for you to worship. You know, when you go on a diet and somebody says, oh, it's going to be easy. Well, it ain't. But this is easy. I've laid the groundwork. How about some opportunity? All right. How about some opportunity? We should not view the 30 minutes before each of the services as just a time to sing songs. We should be anxious and expecting God to do great things in our worship services. Matthew 18:20. Everybody's familiar with this verse. You can go to if you want to. Where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Everybody's familiar with that verse, especially when you're talking about praying and getting together with somebody, you know, to accomplish something for everybody's really familiar with that verse. What about during the worship service? Why wouldn't that apply during the, why couldn't that apply during the worship service? Are we not two or three gathered together? Do we not all have the mind of Christ? So isn't Christ here in our midst during the worship service and even now? I think we would all agree that the scripture is correct. Two or three are gathered together. He's in our midst. What an awesome opportunity. What an awesome opportunity. The same way when a bunch of people get together in expectation, in prayer groups or together, me, Nathan, Buddy, John, we all get together. We're not just getting together to talk. We're getting together to pray, and we're believing on that verse where two or three have gathered together. I'm saying all this because I want you to see the importance of the 30 minutes that we spend before the service. In most of the songs we sing, are we not conversing with God? All right? Where two or three have gathered together, there I'm in here. So in most of our songs we sing, are we not conversing with God? Are we not declaring His goodness? Are we not seeking His guidance? Are we not asking for His direction and blessings in the songs that we sing? Are we not singing not only about Him in some of the songs that we sing about Him and what He's done, but also to Him. We're singing to Him. We're declaring how, His goodness, His mercy, what He's done, and we also in our songs ask Him things, seek things from Him, look for His guidance. All right? Many of you, as well as myself, have testimonies of receiving from God during a worship service. Burdens have been lifted, afflictions have been healed, prayers have been answered. It's obvious that the Holy Spirit moves in the worship service, if we'll let Him, if we'll be part of it. The pure joy and sweetness that comes from a worship service is a powerful convictor. All right? Look around you, and I mean look around you. All right. I'm not saying there's anybody here tonight that's lost, but what if there was? All right? What if there was a lost person in here sitting next to you or in this room? Many a person has fallen under conviction during the worship service. As well as healings, as well as burdens being lifted, and answers to prayer and stuff, many a person has come under conviction during the worship service. Alright? I know of one in particular, Alan Stroud. I was there when Alan Stroud got saved, and it was the worship. He could not understand how these people were so happy, so up. I mean, it was a Halloween night service. As far as he was concerned, it should have been gloomy. But it was, you know, and he saw that and he thought, what is this these people got? What are they, you know? That started him down the path of his salvation. All right. What does the word of the Lord say about Scripture? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, remember we're singing Scripture. A lot of our songs are singing Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All right. I will add, and surely, surely, for singing and bringing about the effects that the word of the Lord accomplishes when it goes out. It does not return to Him void. All right? It goes out, it does not return to Him void. Even in the singing process. All right? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of the Lord is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Is not our goal in everything, I'm going to include everything in this, but you know I'm talking about worship, is our goal not to accomplish great things for the kingdom in the name of Christ? Isn't that our goal, to accomplish great things for the kingdom? So then, in being close to concluding, let your daily life be an offering to God, of praise and worship in all those possible manifestations that it can be, all right, in your daily life. But on top of that, why not come through those doors back there expecting things to happen during the worship service? You give yourself to God, see what happens. Open yourself up, give Him what you got, see what happens. Expect things to happen, not just during the teaching, not during the only during the invocation, but also during the worship service. Not one opportunity should ever be wasted for the Lord's work to be accomplished. We come in here for 30 minutes, we accomplish nothing, we have wasted 30 minutes of time that could have accomplished something for the kingdom. All right? And I'm not saying any of you do this. God gave this to me for me, I suppose. You know, he might have gave it to me for the church down the road, but they wouldn't let me come talk. So, you know, you got stuck with it. Anyway, in closing, one last thought. Others around you will be drawn to worship as they see a reflection of Christ in your face and in your attitude. During our time of praise and worship, remember, it's all about you and the Lord. It's not all about you. It's all about you and the Lord. It's a one-on-one experience. If everybody in this place came together and one-on-one it with the Lord during the worship service, I can't even imagine what would happen. It's letting go of yourself and worshiping God unhindered, unthought, just singing and praising and worshiping the Lord and thinking about what you're doing. Submit yourself to Him and see what happens. Oh, and also, let your face know what you're doing, because I got to look at you. But when you come together, when we come together, this should be our... We sing a song in the worship time that we could really sing at the beginning of every worship service because it's so true, and it would be such a great way to start. Let all earthly distractions fall aside. All thrones and kingdoms give sway. For you are Lord, you are Lord. We exalt you, for Jesus is Lord. Let all earthly distractions fall aside. In my closing, a little quick, that's pretty much the end of the message, but I had to share something comical with y'all about when I was given the message and the way I thought about it. And it just popped into my head again, because I thought about it before. It just popped into my head again, and I thought, that's just too funny. I got to share that. How many know who John Wayne is? Okay. How many are John Wayne fans? Like John Wayne movies? Okay. I like John Wayne movies. And there's a movie that John Wayne did. I think it's called Big Jake. And basically the premise of the movie is, big old John Wayne, he's moved off somewhere, and he hadn't been home in a long time, and there's this, he's got a grandson, and his name is Little Jake, named after his grandfather. And he also has a couple of upper teen, maybe early 20 teenage boys who haven't seen him in about 15 years, so they don't really care for him that much. They think he'd abandon them. Well, when the little boy gets kidnapped, everybody sends for John Wayne. John Wayne's got to come save the day, you know. So he comes and he has an Indian friend, all right? And this is your typical, stereotypical Indian guy. He never says much anything. He just, you know, I'm coming. I'll get the horse. Yes, I'll do that. You know, it's just that kind of conversation. Well, he goes and gets those. They go to hunt for Little Jake. And he takes the Indian, who's his trusted friend. He takes his two older sons who want to go. They want to go, but they don't like him, but they don't think he can do it on his own. So he takes them with him. All through the search for Little Jake, the boys are bad-mouthing. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. I don't believe you're doing that. Well, you abandon us. You're no good. You this, you that. About three-quarters through the movie, when they're getting close to finding Little Jake, that same kind of situation comes up in a hotel room. And the Indian's there, and the boys are there, and they're saying, well, we don't trust the way you're doing it. We're going to do it ourselves. We're going to bring it. We're going to do it, and we're going to take it. And, you know, you're not this, and you're not that. You're going to get us killed. And, you know, John Wayne's like, I don't care what you do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And that Indian, who hasn't said five words, stands up and says, and this is why it's funny, because this is what I thought about me. He looked at those boys, and he said, I've been with your dad all my life. He has saved my neck. I have saved his. I have pulled him from the jaws of death. He has pulled me from the jaws of death. And I'm ad-libbing here. And you boys think you know what you're doing, but you don't know him. If you'll listen to him, we'll get that boy, and we'll get through this, and we'll all live, and we'll all be happy. And then he turns around and looks at John Wayne, and he says, and this is what made me comical, because this is me tonight. That's more words I said since I knowed you. And I thought that was the funniest thing, because... this is more words I said since I knowed you. All right? But anyway, that's the thing. That is it. This is more words I said since I knowed you. And I hope y'all took that picture because, like I said, I can do this, but I'm a worship leader, and I'd be more than happy to do it again. I mean, I have to believe that the Lord is capable of giving a message to me. He's my God. He's your God. He can give a message to any of us. We should all be schooled enough and, you know, be able to hear from the Lord. I mean, so it shouldn't that be difficult. So I'm honored, actually, that I was even asked. When they asked me, I was like, me? Me? Talk? I don't know about that. But I'm very honored that I was asked, and